After a ship sinks off their isolated fishing post, Ava and her fishing crew have to make a difficult decision on either to save the shipwrecked or survive the harsh winter with their last remaining supply. After their choice meets an unfortunate conclusion, the crew is tormented by their guilt and believe they are being punished for their choice. Today, we talk about The Damned, where desperate choices to survive have dire consequences. Welcome to Petrified Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Yes, and today we are talking about The Damned. Recently released, the beginning of the year, technically, yeah.
Yep, our first horror movie of the year. So
we're starting off with a bang, so pretty good. But before we get started, please make sure you follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode, and thank you so much for tuning in. So let's get into it. The Damned. The Darned.
The Dag Nabbit.
It was actually a really good movie, man. And there wasn't so much on it. I didn't see a lot of trailers.
I didn't see a lot of trailers on it anywhere. Like, I just randomly found it while looking for a showtime for the Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare.
Yes, which unfortunately doesn't look like it's playing near us.
No, it's not playing in our market, so.
But maybe. We're still quite a bit
away. We're still hopeful because there's a second release in February.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get the trickle-down effect. If anybody hears us and feels for our plight, please, yes. By all means.
Or send us a bootleg copy. No, but yeah, this movie was really good, man. I liked it a lot, the psychological horror nature of it. I mean, it's just, it was really, really good. It was really good to get into it. You were immersed in it, especially releasing it during the winter. So it kind of puts you in the mindset.
Oh, yeah. The whole just the nature aspect of the movie itself, just the cold, isolated Icelandic fishing village.
Yeah.
Like, it was really weird, but almost like the weather and the climate of the piece and the terrain actually felt like an actual physical character to me. Like,
yeah, because and the way it, yeah.
Like, there were times when I was sitting in the theater and, you know, I mean, it snowed here, but I wouldn't really call Lubbock snow.
But,
you definitely got that, like, cold, like, chill.
Yeah, it was... It put you there, man. It really did. The setting was done really well. I mean, everything was done very, very well in this movie. Even, like, the horror aspect of it, like, showing the, I guess you would say, the antagonist. Technically, I guess, wouldn't be the antagonist. But their mindset of who the antagonist was, not showing him so much, not having these jump scares that are, like, you know, obvious.
Now they did have in their defense, they did have the piece of wood jump scare, which did get some people at the theater. I mean, it like I remember there's a piece of wood on the racks where they basically hang the fish to dry.
Yeah,
and it kind of slides, and yeah, that caught some people at the theater we were at least as a jump scare, which was 18 people, which was one family.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was only like. Oh, yeah, there was only one family.
Yeah, there was one family besides us, and it was like 18 people deep, so.
Yeah, so it's pretty much a widow. She has to take over now this fishing post, and it's in the middle of winter in Iceland. And, of course, there's no, you know, supplies are low, food's low, because, you know, how treacherous the weather is, the terrain, where they're at. You know, so pretty much every expedition to go out and fish has to count. You know, so they can survive. And, you know, her husband was the leader, I guess, of the crew.
Yeah, he was the headsman of the fishing unit.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he perished on one of the fishing trips. So she has to take over because it goes over to her. And so going out on a expedition or going out to fish, unfortunately, there is a shipwreck called next to this kind of rocky terrain or rocky.
Yeah, the Three Fingers. It's three. They look like just giant stalactites.
They call them the teeth, I believe.
Yeah, the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they, you know, the ship out there
runs aground
and perish. It looks like everybody on the on the ship.
You know, it's going dies. Down. You can hear like faint screaming, and but you essentially know what's going to happen. So they have the choice. You know, do they go out and they help rescue and do a rescue attempt? And then everybody, you know, they obviously run it past Eva. What are we going to do? Because she's in charge. Yeah. So you see this going down, and they're coming up with a lot of good points. There's, you know, many different characters, but Ragnar, who's the helmsman,
yeah,
he's like the voice of rationality in this case. He's like, we barely have enough food to feed ourselves.
Yeah, and not only that, they only have like a, you know, one boat that.
Yeah, they have one boat, and if they try to load that many people in it, it's going to submerge itself, and everyone's going to perish. So they're going to die in a rescue attempt. So they run it past Eva, and they're like, what do you want to do? Because obviously there's, you know, there's a conflicted state within the unit.
Yeah, you want to save them, but at the same time, are you killing yourself by saving them and bringing too many people to already low supply?
Yeah, if the sea doesn't kill you by them, like, submerging the boat, then the lack of, you know, food and necessities is going to kill everyone.
Yeah. So unfortunately, they, you know, let the ship sink, and for that day, out of respect, they just decide not to fish. But I think going out and looking at kind of the stuff that came up to shore, or not up to shore, but Ragnar kind of talking about, hey, like, since that ship has supplies on it, we can actually go and pretty much salvage the wreckage and kind of take, you know, stuff for us. That way we can add to our supply, survive a little bit longer. And so they make a quick decision to, like, you know, out of desperation, hey, we're running low on food and everything, let's go. And
yeah, well, remember, they find the barrel of salted pork.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
That night, a barrel of salted pork comes to sea, or comes ashore, and they're like, Eva's like, well, how is it? And he's like, man, this is flipping amazing.
Yeah, it's the best thing that we've had.
Yeah, like, they probably haven't had, you know, anything except for
fish, probably,
you know, dried fish for a dog's age. Yeah. So yeah, they're about it.
Yeah. So they finally decide to make a quick decision, and that night they go out to salvage the wreckage. What they didn't count on is anybody surviving the wreck. But when they get there, there's survivors that are obviously, they're panicked, they're cold, they're scared. And so when they see the boat for the first time, they swim to it, trying to get on to be saved. But of course, if they would have, you know, got on the boat, it would have capsized and it would have killed everybody, all the crew. So they fight them off. They have to fight them off and try to make their way back to shore before that crew can come onto theirs. And you know, they're desperate. These guys are desperate. You know, they want to survive. So they pull. Unfortunately, they pull Ragnar off, and he's gone. And that's the sad part about it. It's like, there's not like, oh no, we're, you know, let's save him. It's like, we got to go. Like, we can't.
Yeah, we can't stop for anyone. We have to do what we have to do. Yeah. So they're, you know, the shipwrecks are completely, like, trying to get onto the little boat. And at this point, they decide, you know, we have to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to defend our craft. Like, this is our livelihood. We have to do that. So obviously violence ensues. And they end up chopping
one of the guys who grabbed Eva, you know, to try to get on the boat, and he gets him in the face with an axe. And finally they make it back to shore, but everybody's kind of, they only have one crate of something. I think it was brandy and like some other alcohol, I think is what it was. And so when they get back to shore, they're like, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, feel bad because they had to fight off these people who were just trying to make it. They were trying to survive. And so that's kind of where everything starts. And so now Eva is kind of tormented by the guilt. And so she just decides to, you know, like, she feels guilty because, one, they lost a crew member. And two, they had to fight off these people.
Yeah, you know, add insult to injury. You know, they've already been shipwrecked and, you know, they're stuck. But they're also, I believe they were Spaniards.
Yeah, it's because what it sounded like. They're speaking Spanish.
There was a language barrier. And so nobody could understand, you know, because...
So they were telling them to stop, but these guys were saying, help me. And it's like...
Yeah.
You know, so it's
no
just,
one could really understand. There was, you know, there was mass misinformation, and they were just... There was a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
So now they're back on shore, and, you know, they're going through, and thus enters, you know, a sub-character of... basically like a shamanish type woman named Helga.
Yeah, Helga, yeah. Yeah, because the next morning when they're going to go fishing, because, you know, that I mean, just because they had a bad night doesn't mean they can't, they still have to do their job.
Yeah, I guess.
And so when they're going fishing, they find out that everything that was on the ship has now come ashore. It's now washed up on shore.
Including the bodies.
Including the bodies and including the axe-wounded victim. So they decide to give him a proper, you know, burial, give him a good, you know, send-off. You know, that's the least they could do since they had to kind of leave him there. And when they do that, Helga is, she is very, very superstitious, I guess you could say. And was talking about how they have to do a pretty much certain ceremony to kind of keep these people dead, or they'll turn to a draugr, which is like a spirit that pretty much is like it's dead, but it's like still animated.
Kind of. It's almost like vampirific in nature.
Yeah, and pretty much what it will do, it'll torment you. It'll come to you in your dreams. It'll do everything it can to turn people against each other and to pretty much like a vengeful spirit because of how wrongful they died or in some certain way. So she's pretty much telling them like, hey, you got to, you know, nail their iron nails in their feet so they don't move.
You got to bind their hands behind their back.
Yeah, and their legs together.
Yeah.
You have to turn them three times. Yeah, you have
to turn the casket around three times to basically disorient the dead. And...
And yeah, so it's pretty much like Old Norse, you know, kind of superstition. So that's going on. Well, now she plants a seed pretty much that, you know, okay, like this is real. But of course, the crew doesn't believe her. It's just, you know, superstition until shit starts happening. And they start kind of seeing things.
They start having dreams.
Ava wakes up in the middle of the night, and one of the crew members is talking in their sleep. And he's saying a rhyme, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so she goes to see what he's saying, and it's I forgot what the rhyme was, but pretty much like it's about the draugr, it's gonna come for you, and it's gonna do this and that, and what you have to do to kind of prevent it from getting to you. But now they start seeing stuff, or Ava pretty much starts seeing it. I'm assuming Helga saw it first. And I think it's because of the superstition background that she has.
Yeah, because a lot of them have faith in, like, you know, in your European God, your Jesus.
Yeah.
They have faith in, like, the traditional God belief system.
Yeah.
And so they're trying not to believe, like, this, you know, ladies coming up with these weird fairy tales.
Yeah.
About, you know, the dead coming back to life and coming to you in dreams. And see, that's one of the things that the draugr does when it comes to you in a dream. It actually leaves a gift or a token.
Yeah.
So that you know that, yes, it was a dream, but it was really real.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they chime in with is, you know, Ava wakes up and there's proof that something had been there.
Yeah. Well, she finds that little token there. And at first she thinks it's Helga. Well, Helga leaves a little, I guess,
hex bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To draw it away. And she leaves it seen so that way people can notice it. Well, she's doing a ritual somewhere else, like to keep these spirits away. And Eva finds it on the door. And she's like, no, like, we're not going to do this. Like, this is superstition. Like, this isn't real. Like, don't scare the men. You know, they still got to have a strong mind to go out and see and fish still. Like, we don't need to put this in their head. And two, it's ridiculous. But she does find the token.
Yeah.
After she wakes up. So there's kind of a, you know, I don't believe it, but then again, where did this come from?
Yeah, but she can't really deny it. I mean, but she still has to be, you know, it's just like a mother in a sense.
Yeah, true.
The mother has to be strong for the child. Like, you could have seen something out of the corner of your eye out in your backyard at night, but you're not going to tell your kids, oh my gosh, I just saw like a 9-foot-tall man walking around with 3 hellhounds.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. Yeah. So.
And then, I think she was like, she visits her husband's grave, you know, because obviously, like, a lot of stuff's gone wrong. So she needs kind of like this moment. So she visits her husband's grave, whose name is, I believe it's Magnus Magnusson. Not Magnus Vermagnusson, not the strong man, but I think it's Magnus Magnusson, if I remember correctly. And he was the old helmsman for the crew until he perished. But on her way back to the house, I guess you could say, that's when she starts seeing something. She hears something behind her under the dock, I believe is what it is,
yeah,
that she's going through. And when she turns around, there's somebody kind of laying, sitting upright, crisscross behind one of the posts. And then it gets up and she just takes off. Like, yeah, dude, that would freak me out too, which I don't know. I don't think I would stand out in the cold in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, that's just, I mean, obviously like the cold affects them, but the way this movie was shot, like the fact that half the time when you see, you know, this being, it's like the snow's blowing and it's just a shadow.
But it's also silent. See, most movies like that, you know the jump scare is going to come because the music starts to build up and then there's just dead silence. And then it like finally you get the big reveal or the big jump scare. This one, it was quiet throughout anytime it showed him.
Yeah. It was like wind blowing.
Yeah.
Like standard stuff that you find outside. So.
Yeah. And anytime you saw him, it was always quiet. So it was a real surprise. You get that actual jump scare because you don't expect it because there's nothing cueing you.
Yeah, there's no cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no build-up.
It wasn't happening in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, and what she's seeing is the pretty much the axe victim that got killed because, you know, was trying to take her down. So that's what she's seeing. But, of course, she's not going to, you know, you're not going to tell the crew. You know, you don't want them to worry.
Well, you can't scold Helga and then sit there and do the same thing. I mean, at least Helga's trying to do something proactively.
Yeah, she's doing ceremonies stuff.
She's, you know, she's trying to keep El Cocuy at bay.
Yeah.
But you're like, you know, yeah.
So the next day they go fishing and they have probably one of the biggest catches, you know, from what it seems. So they, you know, they have a bunch of fish. They hang them up in the storage area and they decide, hey, you know, this is like our first big catch in a while. Let's celebrate.
Yeah, and plus they found the alcohol in the box.
Yeah, they got the brandy and all that.
So they've got, you know, they've got spirits, they've got food. They're going to fill their bellies and their hearts because, I mean, it's been a long time for these poor guys.
Yeah. And so, which Ragnar, he was the son of one of the crew members, or the father of one of the crew members.
Yeah.
I forgot which one it was. But, you know, when they're drinking and celebrating, he, you know, and then kind of Ava and Daniel have this moment of, you know, connection, I guess.
Yeah,
you
there's
say.
Like there's some sexual tension like that's underlaying. Like you can tell, like he was under, you know, Magnus. You know, he served under Magnus, but you can kind of tell he's kind of like, you know, I'd kind of like to be the husband now, at least, you know, in relation.
And her, because he kind of has this, I'm assuming the same for him being under Magnus.
The mannerisms.
Yeah, he has the mannerisms.
And the personality probably chime pretty close.
Yeah, so she's probably falling for that more than it. More than Daniel himself, it's probably more of the, you're just like my husband. So.
Yeah.
So they have their little moment, and then, what's his name? Hagon, the big dude.
Yeah,
he, you know, he has this big old dude. He's like the Magnus from Magnus, and he kind of tells the son of Ragnar. He's like, you know, your dad was the greatest or whatever. But he also teases him a little bit because they're drunk, and you know he gets mad. But when he storms off into the room, or restroom, whatever it is, that's when Ava sees the Draugr again. And it's like, it's just out of the darkness. Like the shadow play is really done well too. And it just kind of creeps out of the darkness and you kind of see it. And it's like this in the middle of everybody. It's not like, oh, I just saw it and no one's going to notice that I'm seeing it. It's very noticeable that she's seeing this thing. And the crew is like, you know, what's wrong?
What's going on with you?
But like, you know, Helga knows like, okay, you saw it now, and like, so I'm not.
Yeah, Helga's like, I told you. Like,
yeah. So the next day, she has this dream of like, what is it? Fire, and then seeing the victim again. She wakes up to kind of a commotion outside. Like, there's something going, like fighting. So that she goes out there, and the crew's fighting amongst each other. And Helga warns that the Draugr is going to turn, you know,
man against man, yeah,
and do anything he can to pretty much take you down. And what they're arguing about is someone went into the storage room and ate all the fish, or took all the fish.
Yeah.
and there was nothing left. They're blaming each other. Well, you were in here last night.
Yeah, you came in. When did you come around? Like, they're casting blame is who came to get, like, the last bottle.
Yeah, of the brandy. And they're blaming the big dude, you know, oh, you must have done it or whatever, but...
Yeah, you forgot to close. Because, well, also, they keep claiming that part of the Draugr lore is that you'll hear the sea lions.
Oh, yeah, the seal.
And they keep, like, they kind of keep referencing because living by the ocean before, you'll hear sea lions. They bark like dogs. So they'll be like, ar, ar, ar. Yeah. That's what they do. So you do hear them.
It's like DMX.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, you're saying so.
Yeah. So that's part of, you know, that's part of the lore of the Draugr. If you have a Draugr, you will hear before it appears, you'll hear the howling of the sea lions.
Yeah.
And so as they're sitting there talking and kind of like going at each other, they kind of stop and they kind of like realize, like, do you hear the barking of the sea lions?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, no, they don't really reference it and put two together because really the only one who's really well versed is Helga. So they don't really know that, oh, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's a sign of, you know, the Draugr.
Yeah. Yeah. The Draugr are said to be able to shapeshift, most famously in the Laxdila saga, into the shape of a seal. This is why they reference the seals in the movie, which is wild. Like, it's just, well, not only that, it's just good, you know.
Absolutely, it's good folklore. Yeah. I mean, it's good great. Folklore, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I forgot who it was. I think it was Jonas, I believe. He was the one that was saying that they need to repent for their sins, that they're being kind of like taught a lesson because of what they did, you know?
Yeah, he was more like the Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, and he said that he's going to build a cross out of the, I guess, the shipwreck parts and put it to cast over the crew and their
living accommodations.
Yeah, that way they can, you know, they can repent for their sins and they can be looked over by God. And he's like, who's with me? And no one joins up.
Yeah, well, and then he also tries to kind of put Helga on blast, too.
Oh, Eva.
That he's actually, yeah, that they're, you know, that basically...
It was Eva's fault.
Eva's gonna basically, like, be suffering because she's following these pagan ways of Helga.
Yeah.
And turning kind of from the one true God.
Yeah.
And doing all this, like, ritualistic stuff. Because when they first buried the dead from the ship... Yeah. They didn't do what Helga had told them.
Yeah.
They didn't put the nails in the feet. The iron nails.
And now they're believing, like, okay,
and now
maybe.
They're like, wait a minute. Maybe this lady knew what she's talking
Helga
about.
Helga disappears that morning, too, when the fish.
She had disappeared when the fish disappeared.
Yeah.
So.
And so finally they decide to go, like, okay, let's go look at the. This just. Eva was curious, like, let's just go look at the bodies, you know? Because what Helga told me, it's kind of wandering in the back of my mind. So let's just kind of put this, like, to rest. So she goes through and they open up the first coffin, nothing in it. Second one, nothing in it. And then finally, when they get to like the fourth or fifth one, which was the axe wounded victim,
it's just two little pieces of seaweed.
Yep.
That was it. So it's an empty grave.
Yep. And so now they kind of realize that, okay, maybe there is
something. So now they find themselves some iron nails. Yeah, some rope. they do every ritual to precise accuracy.
Yeah.
Like, they've got to basically bind the legs, bind the hands, bind the back, spin that sucker around three times so he gets confused. But by that time, it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, it's already in their minds.
The fourth grave
is
already, you know, is already empty.
Yeah.
The Draugr has already been released.
Yeah, and pretty much what she has to do, what Helga told her, is you have to kind of burn the body now. You have to... Which I don't know why you wouldn't do. I know. I guess they were trying to be respectful and give them a proper burial.
Yeah.
But at that point, it's just like, well, you know, they're just going to be sitting there frozen. They're not going to decompose because of how cold it is.
Yeah. And it's not like you can, like, chop through the soil to bury them.
Yeah.
You
might as well burn them. I mean,
yeah.
Get rid of them.
I would think you'd make like a raft, kind of like a funeral pyre.
Yeah.
Like, to me, and then, like, put them on there and then send them off, you know. Like, send them off to Valhalla.
Yeah.
I don't know how close, you know, the Icelandic is to Norse. But, yeah, I mean, I could kind of see a comparative.
I mean, Helga, carried that with her, so I'm pretty sure it's pretty, it's really rude.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, their protection symbols are extremely close.
They're runes, yeah.
They're extremely close, so I could see that maybe, so, yeah, I'd probably be like, you know, maybe it's not 100%, you know, kosher.
Yeah, and then when they go check the, kind of like the, I wouldn't say pyre, but like the kind of altar that Helga had built, the rocks are like destroyed, like they've fallen. And so they go and try to look for her, and
she's gone.
Yeah, she's nowhere to be found. And then the next day, that's when Big Dude, he gets sick in the middle of the night, and he's like seeing the thing now. He is seeing the Draugr, and he's tormented, but nobody else can see it but him. He has like a fever. He's like freaking out. And when they're trying to calm him down, trying to, you know, get him to rest, you know, he's just having hallucinations from the fever. That's when he flips and he sees it and tells it to, you know, get away from him. And he turns on Daniel and he grabs him, starts beating the crap out of him. And, you know, unfortunately they have to pretty much put him down, and they strike him in the back of the head and kill him, unfortunately, which was wild, dude, because it's like, now it's like, okay, is this real? Is this not real? Is it in their head?
Was it just a fever dream? Yeah.
But Helga is still, or Ava is still seeing it. Like, she's still seeing it at the corner of her eye. She's still seeing it in her dreams. So it's already there. It's there at their post. And so finally, they just, it's just pretty much like survival at this point. And so, what was it? The next pretty much fishing day,
he goes down, I forget who, they go down to the rocks, remember? They slip on the rocks.
Oh, yeah, they go out to, pretty much, I forgot, they were going to go and set out some lines.
Yeah, they were going to go set out some lines, and
Daniel, there was a huge fog that rolled in, and Daniel, they said,
slipped on the icy rock.
Because he was running from something.
Yeah.
And again, they referenced the seals again, like they could hear them, the barking of the seals. And so they bring him in. He's all messed up. He's all, you know, in the face. And so they finally stitch him up, patch him up.
Eva does a homegrown stitch.
Yeah, pretty much. And so they go out to go, look for Helga again?
Yeah.
And they go out and they can't find her. And I believe Jonas apologizes to Eva about, you know, blaming her and
building a giant 10,000-foot cross on the back of your property. It was my fault.
And so he, you know, he makes amends with her. And then he's watching Daniel. When they come back from looking for Helga, she hears a commotion in the house.
Yeah.
When she goes in there, Daniel has stabbed him. He's lying on the floor. When she turns around, he doesn't say anything. He just has this look of like, I'm going to kill you, pretty much.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get him to stop, like, not to do it. Like,
trying to plead with him, but he just stands up and, like, keeps walking towards her.
And finally, like, he sees it too. And finally, he slits his own throat.
Yeah. Takes out his knife that he used to kill the other guy and just slices his own throat open.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't kill him. He just wounds him.
Yeah. That guy gets forgotten about it. Yeah, anyway. They were just like that's crazy. They didn't even like, hey, are you okay? Nothing. Like, he just apologized to Eva, and they're just like, oh, yeah, that's good, man. You did your part.
And then he gets stabbed.
Yeah, then he gets stabbed, and that's the last you see him.
Yeah, pretty much, because he's not even a big part towards the end.
He isn't. No, he has to my understanding. Like, he pretty much died on the floor right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, so he slits his own throat, which was a huge twist. Like, you didn't expect that. You thought there was going to be, like, a fight. You know, Ragnar and somebody else are going to walk in, and they're going to fight him off or whatever. But no, he just slits his, because it's like he's tormented too.
Yeah.
And so it's like, dude, that's wild. So now I think there's only, what, three of them left now? Ava, Scully, and Jonas, I believe.
Yeah.
Or Aaron, one of those. And which I don't even know what happened to the other dude. Because it was another guy, right?
Yeah. So.
Because there's Ava, obviously. There's Daniel, who was he was next helmsman after Ragnar died.
Yeah.
There was Jonas, which I think was the one that was
the Christian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Helga, of course. Scully, who was the bearded old man. Hakon was the big dude. And then there's Aaron, I believe. I don't think that was that many, though.
Yeah, no. I know in the end that she's left, basically, I don't remember the exact names, but she's left with the two.
Yeah, she's left with Scully and Jonas, I believe.
And they go to set out to find Helga.
Yeah. Oh, no, find the body, because they realize that now they have to burn the body.
Yeah, they have to burn it.
To get rid of this spirit that's tormenting them. And so they go out and they search the mountains, the foothills pretty much, and they go and look. And this fog just rolls in, and you can kind of see the outline of this, of what you've been seeing throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, the dragon is like luring. It looks like they're almost like leading Eva to her fate.
And when that fog clears, it's just Scully, and he falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, there's this giant, like ice cave, like this giant expanse.
Yeah.
But she was quick with it. Eva was quick with it, man. Because literally it's just there. And then you see him down at the bottom of like the canyon.
Yeah.
And then like 2 minutes later, she's just like walking past and like, what's good?
Yeah.
It's like,
She finds out who it is. And Jonas and Aaron are the ones that are left. And that's right. It's just Jonas and Aaron that are left. And they're like, you know, what happened? Are you okay? And she yells to them like, Scully's dead. When she turns around, she sees this pretty much the same thing she saw out under the docks, you know, sitting crisscross.
Yeah, like a huddled mass. Just sitting. But it has like a crow on it.
Yeah, it has a raven on it. Yeah,
and it kind of looks like almost when you see it, it looks almost kind of like a headstone.
Yeah,
almost, or like a burial mound. And so this crow is sitting on it, which was completely out of place. Yeah, and it's like ice cave thing going on.
But that's what it is, right? I mean, it's this spirit. So
it was like this bird, and then it flies away, and then she gets closer to it, and you can see it kind of start to become human in nature. So she walks up to it, and you're thinking, obviously, you know, it's going to be the Draugr, right? You're like, but no, lo and behold, it's just the huddled corpse
of Helga
sitting there, you know, with her runes and everything,
and she gets taken out by the cold. You know, I don't know what she was like, looking for something or trying to find the body, perhaps to burn it.
Maybe she, like, you know, Eva and them was you know, pursuing it, and it was leading her out there.
Yeah,
and obviously she was doing it in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
so if you think Scully died, like, you know, it was day. Of course, it was like snowing.
Yeah,
but and you had like zero visibility.
Yeah.
But still, imagine that at night. Like, it had to have been 100 times worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no lantern, you know, I don't care.
Like, she didn't have anything with her.
She had nothing. Like, you know, like a fur jacket, and that was it, out into the night. No.
Yeah, no.
No one's coming back from that.
So they give up that night, and they're like, we're just going to have to leave. Like, they finally get back to post, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to have to take off, and hopefully this thing doesn't follow us. And so Aaron and Jonas, they go outside to do the lines again, and it's nighttime now, and finally she's confronted by the spirit, and it's done really well. Again, man, it's not a jump scare. It's silence. So when you see it, it's not, you know, it's like a surprise, but then again, it's not because you're seeing, you know, so she finally gets confronted by it, and she has a gun, which was I forgot whose gun it was.
Well, remember, Daniel taught her how to shoot.
Oh, yeah, and Daniel taught her how to, that's when they have this moment.
Yeah, they had a moment of, you know, her learning to shoot, and, you know, him holding her close and teaching her how to shoot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, so she finally pulls out the rifle, and when it jumps at her, that's when she shoots it, and it gets wounded on the floor. And she's like, well, I got to light this place on fire now. Like, I got to destroy it. So she throws, like, the brandy and stuff all over it and lights the place up. And she leaves. And Aaron and Jonas are like, you know, what happened? Like, and she's like, it's done. The fire's going to finish them off. Like, that's it. It's over, finally. Like, this thing is no longer going to torment us. And she's sitting there, and she's just, like, finally, like, she can have relief that it's dead. And in that relief, she finally gets, like, the flashbacks of what's actually been going on. And you see that the actual confrontation that she has with this thing was an actual person.
Yeah, it was one of the Spanish
sailors. That actually made it to shore. And he was saying that he was trying to survive with his brothers. They were hiding out in the mountains, and they stole
the fish.
Yeah, they stole the fish, and they, you know, they were the ones that they were, you know, that were there pretty much, living in the same shore, just in the mountains.
Yeah, they were basically hiding out because obviously they had already, you know, one of them had already caught an axe to the face by you people. they're going to be a little leery of coming around and being like, hey, you guys, you know, so yeah, they stole their food and basically they're just out there surviving in the wilderness.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So yeah, they're going to take any chance they can get to get food, supplies, anything like that. And she realizes that the conversation they were having was actually, you know, hey, I'm sorry. Please don't shoot me. Like she pretty much just caught him in the act, but what she saw was the Draugr, because it was her guilt and her conscience pretty much like was just overwhelmed with his guilt, and so she was seeing the spirit, but really he was speaking Spanish, so she couldn't understand him.
Yeah,
and he's like, please, like don't shoot, like we're just trying to survive. And when he tries to lunge for the gun to get it out of her hand, that's when she shoots him, and pretty much burns him alive. And so now you have guilt on top of more guilt. And it's just like, dude, this is... The twist was crazy.
Yeah.
To realize that there was no real spirit.
There was no monster at all. The monster was all in your head.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, to me it showed, you know, it was an underlying horror, which was great because it shows, you know, like some things that I've seen in my life. It's the horror of man. It's the horror of your mind.
Yeah.
Like, your mind is a powerful weapon. Like, it can do anything to you.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean...
So, like, if you, like, literally, like, have a flight of fancy out in the middle of the woods or something, you can see all kinds of things. Like, you can see, like, you know, a trash bag blowing in the breeze, and you think, oh, my God, that's Mothman. You know,
it's... yeah, pretty much.
Like, your mind, like, you know, your subconscious and things that you can suggest into someone's mind and basically make them see monsters.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect setup.
Because think about it. If Helga doesn't say anything about, you know, the Draugr, do they go insane like that? Do they turn on each other?
I think they would because, like, so? my assessment would be that obviously, like, the guilt was already there.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like a 60-40 split. Not everybody was like, hey, leave them out there to die in the ice.
Yeah, true. Like, some of them wanted to
go out. Some of them did want to go out and save. Like, some of them probably would have broke rations.
Yeah.
And would have helped them. And what's to say that if they had gone out there might not have been barrels of, like, the, you know, the salted pork on the rocks out there. But they couldn't bring them in because they had no vessel to get them to shore.
Yeah.
So there could have been food aplenty. There could have been enough for all of them to survive.
Yeah. Well, remember, they had to go quickly because the tide was going to change.
Yeah. Those guys could have had, like, all kinds of, you know, maybe munitions, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Provisions, everything out there. But you didn't know because you didn't take the risk to go out there because you were like, it's safer for us to stay on the shore. It's safe. It's a safe bet. So, yeah, like your conscience probably thinking to the kind of people that they were, you know, they were working people.
Yeah.
They were people working the sea.
Yeah.
And
even Ragnar tries to justify by saying, well, they should have known better
than to try and make that, you know, at high tide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, try to sell that so close to shore in shallow waters.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, they're just fishing, man. I mean, they're...
But you think, I mean, if you sit there and, like, analyze it, like, growing up in an area that was close to the harbor in Los Angeles, for myself, like, the suspicions that people have, like, the superstitions that people have.
Yeah.
They're abundant. The sea has so many, like the albatross... The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah.
It's underlaying in, like, so many folklore.
Yeah.
Like, every culture has these, like, you know, sea creatures. You have the Kraken. You know, you have Cthulhu.
Yeah.
You have, you know.
Sirens. Yeah. And all that. Yeah.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You've got these giant squid monsters. It's everywhere. It's totally prevalent. The water holds so many mysteries.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they were just, their superstition got a hold of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it, you know, it in the end, it caused, you know, basically their unraveling.
Yeah, and destroyed pretty much,
yeah,
not all of them, but damn near close to. I mean, it destroyed the post because she lit it on fire. She destroyed it. She destroyed everything. So, yeah, pretty much the, I guess, in a sense, the Draugr did what it was intended to do, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, but who was the real Draugr, see? So that turns the case of, you know, was the Draugr really the Spaniards? Or was the Draugr them?
Yeah.
Because the Spaniards never did anything, like, except try to survive.
Yeah.
All they did was try and get on your boat. They weren't physically, like, yes, they were physically coming after you to try and get you to help them up onto the vessel. But they weren't, like, trying to kill you or chop your face up or, you know, leave you out there to die and suffer. Yeah. So.
But think about it, too. Yeah, because they could have done, like, they had, like, what, six people on the boat. If they would have just gone out with three people, okay, hey, man, three guys, you know, even though, like, you can try to make some kind of, like, even though there's, like, a language barrier, you can communicate in some way, be like, okay, three at a time, like, let's get three more guys, like, you, and point at them.
But also think about it from, like what you're saying. So, okay, you could have done shifts, right?
Yeah.
So you could have sent two people out. You could have sent Ragnar, because he was a big dude.
Yeah.
You could have sent the two biggest dudes out.
Yeah, you could have done the...
Even Helga could have, like, run provisions on the shore, and they could have basically, like, kept the campfires going, got everyone, you know, provisions and everything. But then...
Even Jonas wanted to light fires on the shore to help them swim to,
like,
shore.
A lighthouse.
Like, hey, we won't even, like, we won't go out, but they can at least...
Like, see, a beacon point, and you can come up. But then you also got to think, okay, like, even if you got them to shore... I understand your provisions are really low. You don't have a lot of food, da 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 da. All the stuff that Ragnar brings into play. You got a second shift of fishermen now.
Yeah.
Because let's say you had another six people that came off those rocks. You can fish in shifts, which means you're going to get more fish because you guys are dusted by the end of the day.
Yeah.
You can send out round two with your same boat and get more fish. You can fish in shifts. First light, the first crew goes out. They come back in at around noon, and then noon to six, you got round two.
Yeah.
But nobody thought about that.
Well, it was desperation. That's what it was. Yeah. It was just like, well, you know, if we go out there and save them, oh, we're going to lose food. Instead of thinking about, well, you know, let's go ahead and help them. You know, they can do this, they can do that. Because think about it. They had that big catch.
Yeah.
If they had that big catch, those guys wouldn't have to steal it anymore.
Yeah.
And they can just split it amongst each other.
Yeah, because they had the by the next light, they had the big catch the next day.
Yeah.
You know, they took the day off, you know, in respect, which was, you know, a good thing. But
they
still
took another day off because of, you know, Ragnar's death.
Yeah.
But even at that, like, say they, you know, like, again, and you have two shifts. Now you have two loads of fish.
That's what I'm saying. And just think of everything that you could have done and you could have accomplished. Even with a language barrier, there's universal. I mean, you show them a fish, you show them the boat, you're going to understand.
Plus, they're out fish, there anyway. They boat. Probably are fish.
They have a skill set.
Yeah.
They're not out on a merchant ship or, you know, they weren't like, you know, flying the Jolly Roger or something. Yeah. They weren't like pirates, for God's sakes. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much their guilt is what I guess technically was the Draugr. They were...
Yeah, their own subconscious, their own actions, their own guilt was their own Draugr.
Yeah.
And Helga was ringmaster because she was just calling people out. She was just like, hey, wait a minute. Nope. You guys are like, you know, now you guys are screwed. Now you guys got to deal with like the dead seafaring vampire because you were, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
You were a bunch of schmucks.
But again, that's why I kind of beg the, you know, the question is if she had not planted that in the first place. Would they have, you know, been consumed in that way?
I think so, because I think they would have still had the guilt. I don't think they would have had the same experience. I don't think they would have had necessarily, like, the same... Because once you put a label on it, like, oh, well, it's a werewolf. Yeah. You know the mannerisms of the werewolf. You know it comes out on a full moon. You know it can be killed with a silver bullet, a.k.a. fire. You know, this, that, and that. So you start, you know, correlating... The mythos with the creature itself.
Yeah, and you already, you know, of course, this is 19th century, so there's not, like, you know, psychological studies then.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you talk about something so much, you're going to have a dream about it. Like, you know, oh, I talked about my mom all evening and when I dreamt of her because, you know, you talked about her. Well, they talk about this thing, her and Helga talk about this thing that before they go to bed, and she dreams about it, and now she thinks... oh, well, yeah, this is real now. And yeah, so that it just starts it off. Like, yeah, it's that's what's so cool about, not cool, but wild about superstition is, while there might be some truth to it, it's usually just people's subconscious that gets a hold of them, and that's what creates the,
yeah,
the mythology in the first place.
It's the plant from the seed. That's what it is. Like, yeah, Helga planted the seed. They fed it.
Yeah, and they sprouted.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where they got, you know. And that, and the fact that, I mean, obviously, like, really truthfully, in such bleak circumstances, I don't think I would be bringing a lot of that stuff up. Because, yeah, because
you already have the harsh conditions of the weather.
You have the fact that, like, when you first are introduced to the movie, when you're first introduced to Eva, she's literally walking the racks, and there's no fish.
Yeah, there's no fish, yeah.
So there's already desperation. There's already desperation. There's probably, yeah, already depression in play. All that's there.
Yeah, and they have a catch, but it's not a huge one like they get later on. It's just something that they kind of, you, yeah, know. It's, they celebrate the night before because they're about to go out and fish again. And, you know, they're toasting to her husband and they're, you know, drinking and whatever. But, yeah, again, even though they're having these moments because, of course, you want to kind of take your mind off of the situation you're in.
Yeah.
But, again, yeah, like you're saying, you know, why would you bring that in the first place? But yeah. I guess when you're that superstitious, I mean, shoot, in the Hispanic community, there's so much superstition that, you know, some of these elders take it as truth. Yeah. So, like, you can kind of see where she's coming from too, where Helga's coming from, because to her, it's not superstition. To her, this is the truth. This is, you know,
this is the facts.
This,
yeah,
is, yeah, this is set in stone. Like, this is real to her. Whereas maybe to the crewmates, it's, you know, it's just superstitious.
Yeah. It's old wives' tales.
Yeah.
So,
but to her, this is like, no, this is real. This is, I've seen this. I've heard this.
Yep. I yeah, followed it into the night with a whole bag full of fishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this, I mean, everything was shot really well. The scenes where you have the jump scares, like I said, again, it's very quiet. It's not, you know, you don't have this giant, you know, buildup of music and then the jump scare. So you can kind of prepare for it, but it still kind of gets you. It's, you know, I mean, the reveal, the shadow play, everything is done really, really well.
Yeah, it's a minimalistic approach to, you know, to the modern horror story.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have someone who's, you know, on screen every 13 seconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, which I think is kind of cool because in the end, you know, spoiler alert on this one, obviously, we've kind of spoiled the story for you, but it wasn't really a monster.
Yeah.
It wasn't really anything that was really in existence, so.
It's just what they brought into existence.
Yeah.
It was their, you know, again, it was just their mind that,
yeah,
took the better of them and became their demise, became their downfall. And it was a good movie. It's still out, I think, for another week.
I believe. Yeah, I think it's got one more week left, and then I think it'll get pulled off the shelf.
Yeah,
for so, Moana 4 or Mufasa Lion King.
Yeah, for those other movies. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that was The Damned, and yeah, it's out. You know, it's only, I mean, by the time this comes out, it's already going to be, you know, out of theaters. But when this comes out on, you know, you want to check out a movie, rent it, you know, just to get some good horror going on, good psychological, you know, horror going on. You
yeah,
know,
and give some support out, yeah, to the director. I mean, this was actually his, like, it's extremely well. And then when you think about it, I think it was like Thordor was his name.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got it written down. It's Thordor Pálsson. And this is actually his directorial debut.
Oh, yeah.
So this is his first movie, like, ever, like, that he's ever released.
Well, he did it very well. I mean,
absolutely. And like I said, for the little bit, I didn't see anything about this movie.
Yeah.
I saw very little. So for it to be that good, the story to be that well written, and yeah, for it to be, like, your first run, I think that deserves some, you know, accolades because, you know, give this man his flowers.
Yeah.
Because it definitely was, you know, it was better than I expected.
Oh, yeah. It was better than I expected, too.
It was a great way to chime in, you know, the horror for 2025. Yeah. So
it's a good way to start it off, man. Yeah. So, yeah, go show it some love once it comes out on digital, you know, and it'll probably come out in streaming. You'll probably rent it or you can go buy it at, you know, anywhere they'll sell it, you know, Walmart, Target, whatever. And, yeah, go show some love for it, man. I mean, it's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. I probably should have said this at the beginning to go watch it, I guess, before, or if you want to wait.
Yeah, because it is a limited release. It's not going to be around very long.
But, I mean, hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you're like, man, I really want to see that, then, hey, go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. Hit us up. Tell us what you think about it. Yeah. You know, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, and then next week we'll have The Wolfman.
Yeah.
We'll go check that out, and we'll let y'all know what we think about it. Hopefully it's what, you know, it's what I want, I guess you could say. You know, I'm kind of excited that these Universal monsters are kind of starting to be remade.
Creeping back in, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Slow. I mean, of course, you had the big, you know, 80s and 90s, they had some of them. But now you're starting to get, you know, these other directors.
Modern takes, yeah. Modern takes on, you know, timeless classics is always a good thing. So
hopefully it's good, man. And we'll let you know how that is. But thank you so much for listening. Please, again, follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. And yeah, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. We will see you next week.